welcome to another EAH podcast with Mia Young,
Alex Aubin,
Ian Roy,
and Anya Peters.
Today we will be reading A Poison Tree by William Blake. I was angry with my friend. I told my wrath did end. I was angry with my foe. I told it not, my wrath did grow.
And I watered it in fears, night and morning with my tears, and I sunned it with smiles and with soft, deceitful wiles.
And it grew both day and night, till it bore an apple bright, and my foe beheld its shine, and he knew that it was mine.
And into my garden stole, when the night had veiled the pole, in the morning glad I see, my foe outstretched beneath a tree. So, to start us off, we decided to come up with the question, what does the apple in stanza 3 represent?
I think it's important to talk about the archetype of trees and mm-hmm. how they're commonly used as positive, giving of life, mm-hmm. growth. But in this, it's a poison tree, and that kind of makes me allude to the religious kind of archetype of Adam and Eve, the poison apple. Mm-hmm. So I think the apple kind of has something to do with some type of toxicity, sin, some type of bad demon, bad feeling.
Yeah. I definitely saw it as, like you said, like a item to lure.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
Like, bring his foe in, because obviously it says, like, he was angry with his friend, and, like, he told it, so it dissipated. Like, that kind of ends it, like, within the first two lines, like, how it explains it. And then he's angry with my foe, so he obviously held that anger in. I told it not, my wrath did grow. So he held it in, and I feel like this tree is kind of, like,
luring him.
It's like a product of anger, mm-hmm. and just like built up anger, and so yeah. like obviously the apple is like part of the tree.
Yeah, I can definitely see with stanza 3, till it bore an apple bright, and my foe beheld it shine, and he knew that it was mine. That's definitely a play on Adam and Eve and their apple. And the apple was forbidden. It was toxic. Mm-hmm. And with this poem, it's very clear that they're talking about, you know, tree and that kind of a growth, but it's like a negative, toxic kind of a growth. And the apple definitely is like a seductive, kind of like juicy, like an apple bright. Like
yeah.
It's very appealing and interesting to the foe.
And the foe knew that he wasn't supposed to have it because in stanza 3 it says, and he knew that it was mine. Mm-hmm. Like, so he stole.
And into my garden
yeah.
stole.
Yeah, like
he stole the tree.
Yeah.
And mm-hmm. Mia, you talked about in the first stanza about how he held it in.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, you see how he talked it out with his friends. He was able to expand the mm-hmm. toxicity and anger. But over the second stanza, we kind of see his suppression. And that's kind of where we see mm-hmm. the tree grow. This tree
right.
grows with... It's really metaphoric. The tree is watered with his tears.
Or fears.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I watered it in fears, night and morning with my tears.
And sunned with it with my smiles. He grew it. The sun is the metaphor for his smiles, you know, pretending
like
he's okay.
Yeah.
Yeah, pretending like he's okay.
Right.
So the first stanza, we kind of see him explain it, and then he goes mm-hmm. into how he suppressed his feeling and how the tree
right.
grew.
Mm-hmm. This tree is obviously a metaphor for, like, a product of negativity.
Suppression.
Yeah.
Suppression of negative
yeah.
feelings.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah,
definitely.
Yeah.
Like, it's growing, but it's growing
right.
a negative... Like, negative intent.
Right, like, a tree obviously represents growth, and most would think it's, like, positive growth or, like, life,
yeah.
like, something like that. But in this case, it's not. Obviously, like, poison is a negative connotation, too. Like, you don't really relate nice things with that
mm-hmm.
word.
No.
So it just kind of goes with it.
And same with fears.
And I find it interesting that we talk about how it grew in a negative way, mm-hmm. and we can also talk about how a tree can grow in a positive way.
Mm-hmm.
I kind of see it talking about how good can grow the same way evil can.
Mm-hmm.
You know,
with the smiles mm-hmm. and stuff. Yeah.
Yeah, like kind of just in like an alternate way.
Sorry,
I don't know what that was. Yeah, and I agree that in stanza 2, it's very clear. There's a lot of symbols and examples of how the toxicity is growing this tree, watering it in fears, night and morning with the tears, and then send it with smiles. Like Ian said, that's very clear that, like, the fakeness, like, the fake
mm-hmm.
smile, the fake attitude, the fake happiness is feeding this, like, toxic tree
mm-hmm,
and
yeah.
the evil intent and, like, background that
is
within
all underneath.
It. Yeah, and then the last line of stanza two, and with soft, deceitful wiles. So I didn't know what wiles was, so I looked that up, and it says, devious or cunning stratagem or stratagems.
Strategies?
No, it's stratagems employed in manipulating or persuading someone to do what one wants.
Yeah, so he's putting on, like, a fake face, basically.
Yeah, it's
like a mask.
Manipulating.
Right.
Yeah. It's very manipulative.
It's like a facade. Like, oh, hey, like, I'm happy. We're happy. We're good. Like, why don't we just keep acting the same way that
really
we were before?
Really, this anger's literally eating him from the inside.
Yeah.
It's growing in him.
Yeah.
Yeah, it is. Yeah, it's talking about, like, yeah, it's growing inside of him.
Which I like how you said it's eating him. Like, the more it grows, the more it kind of consumes him.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. It controls him. Like, I mean, at the end, you see him, he's almost, like, evil.
He's glad.
He talks about, in the morning, glad I see my foe outstretched beneath the tree. Like, that's so evil, you know?
Right.
Yeah, I think, like, the outstretched beneath the tree, when I first read that, I saw that as, like, a leisurely kind of, like, oh, like, he's outstretched
right.
underneath the tree.
Like, you know, relaxing.
Like you're relaxed. Like, at the beach, you know, or at the pool. Like, you're outstretched on the chair. Like, I thought of it as more of, like, a, kind of like a nice serene. I was like, oh, look, there's a prairie in the back. Like,
right.
It's a tree. He's laying down. It's peaceful.
But after a while, like, I mean, like, connecting the rest of the poem mm-hmm. with it, when you see outstretched, especially beneath, like, the tree that is poison, like, a toxic tree, like, obviously he shouldn't be a very nice thing.
And after he stole from
him. Right. And because this, we know this tree is, like,
negative.
Kind of, inside the reader or the speaker.
Mm-hmm.
So we know it's, like, a product of the speaker. So this is, like, clearly in his, like, imagination or, like, conscious kind of. Like, this is, like, just, like, a metaphor for, like, what's actually happening in reality. But so outstretched beneath the tree, I obviously pictured it as, like, dead. Like, he ate the he obviously had the poison apple in his hand. It says it here. He stole it from the speaker. He ate it. You know, like, the whole Snow White thing. Like, you lure it in and, like, you know, like,
it's a common archetype that apples are kind of seductive and for whatever reason, in a lot of stories, a lot of fairy tales, apples are kind of a seductive poison thing. You're like, here, eat the apple.
Right.
And you're like, oh, a beautiful apple. And it looks beautiful on the outside, but for some reason, it's always poison.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Right. And so outstretched beneath the tree, like, he's clearly dead beneath the tree. And it says, the morning glad I see. So he's obviously glad that he's, I don't think, well, like, obviously he's not, like, legitimately dead. Or, like, this is just kind of, like, what's
but
going
it's like
on inside
he's defeated,
the...
like...
Yeah, like, I saw this as the reader, or the... I keep saying reader. The speaker getting his vengeance on his foe, eventually. Like, this anger is building up and building up inside of him, and he finally, like, lets it out.
And that's what he wants.
And so the outstretched beneath the tree is, like, showing defeat of the foe.
Yeah,
I can see that because it's into my garden stole when the night had veiled the pole. In the morning glad I see my foe outstretched beneath the tree.
Right.
That is like maybe taking in some background and digging a little bit behind what's just written down on this poem. The foe did have the apple, so he could have eaten it, and that's why he's like laid out under the tree.
It's not like this... We obviously have figured out that the speaker does not like the foe. I mean, foe is a negative... term, like foe means like
enemy.
Non-friend. So to be glad to see the foe, you know, laying underneath this poisonous tree, like that's obviously very negative.
Yeah.
To us. I mean, to him it's positive, but.
Yeah. So going on to question two, how does the syntax in stanza one express depth within the meaning of the poem? You know, tying in everything we had just discussed.
I mean, it shows relationships, you know, between a friend and a foe, like how people react to different people.
Right, you know like I mean? A friend you open up to, you're comfortable enough with, like, talking to them, but a foe, you're more likely to keep that...
Reserved, in. You know? You're more reserved. When you're not really friends with someone, it's not like you can easily just tell them how you feel.
Even if it is anger and, like, you don't necessarily like that person, you're still holding it in.
Yeah.
Just because it's comfortability.
And I think... Oh, go on.
Go ahead.
Okay. And I think with the... I think, the last line of the first stanza, I told it not, my wrath did grow. And he's referring to the foe. I can see that and relate to that in just, like, my life personally. Like, you know, if you have someone who you're not super close with, you wouldn't go out of your way to express, like, disappointment or anger with them. You know, like, it's not, like, necessarily a thing you would just kind of express. It's like you would keep
with
it to yourself more. No, with the
foe. Oh, okay. Yeah.
I think it also kind of implies how just humans deal with their emotions. It's just kind of flawed that we're able to talk to some people and we're not able to talk to others.
Right.
I think it implies that, you know, we should be able to,
like,
find a middle ground with people we don't like.
Right.
But because we're, for some, whatever reason, have problems with them, we can't.
I feel like this whole poem is just kind of like, you should let out your emotions. You should express yourself, because if not, like, it will build up and
like,
it will.
This is what will happen.
Right.
Yeah, the
and
law
in the
of suppression.
End. Right. And in the end, you know, you see, like, his suppression kind of got, like, the best of him. And, like, his emotions got the best of him at the end. And he kind of, like, you know, seems, like, almost, like, not. Well, relatively devious. Like, kind of malicious,
like,
at the end.
If,
yeah.
If you suppress something, it will eventually come out on someone else.
And it'll,
the apple represents the suppression coming out. Like,
right.
No matter how much he wants to keep it in, it still grew the apple.
Yeah. It's not healthy, like, to keep this stuff in, you know? And it says how sad he is throughout the whole thing, too. He's like, yeah, my tears, my fake smiles, like, all this fake act that I was putting on. Like, that's not a healthy thing.
Also, with the first stanza, to talk about, like, your question, I feel like with the wording, the way that the speaker chose to use the exact same words, you know, wrath and wrath.
Angry.
You know, for each person, it's like comparing them, the exact same situation, but just that one difference is a different person, and like how much that can change everything. Like just with one difference of just the person, it created this entire poem. Do you know what I'm saying?
I think it's interesting that the first stanza is like very simple, almost like you can't really, there's not a whole lot of interpretation within the words here.
Yeah, no,
like angry is pretty straightforward. He doesn't use like a different word for it, and like my friend,
he uses
foe,
the same,
like, you can't
words.
Really
yeah.
You know, so
exactly.
I feel like that he put it kind of easy for us to like understand the rest of like the, I don't want to say vibe, but I'm gonna, the vibe of like the poem.
Yeah,
or, like
tone.
the tone.
Thank
you. I really could not think of that word.
Yeah, no, it's
the vibe.
So,
no,
yeah, it's, like, easily stated at the beginning, so we, I feel like that first stanza definitely helps us understand
feels.
The tone of
yeah,
the rest of the
right.
poem.
And you can clearly see, like, the comparison and, like,
exactly.
similarities with how, with the type of person he's talking about, his reaction, and then in line 2 and 3, it ends with end and grow. So it's, like, a clear cut, like, I was not angry anymore. I was still very angry.
Yeah, like,
because
it's a really simple comparison for us to interpret, which...
Mm-hmm.
It's good.
Yeah, and I think that ending the last stanza wrapped it up, as in it presented it for as the speaker is happy now. But that happiness is a bad thing.
Yeah, yeah, right.
He is now happy.
Happiness.
Yeah, he is now happy
yeah.
that his foe is outstretched beneath the
it's
tree.
It's kind of like a
right.
kettle pot, like all this anger and like toxicity built up, and eventually the pot, you know, the top's going to flip off.
Exactly.
And it's going to explode, and it's going to burn you. It's hot water. It's not healthy. It's going to, in turn...
Well, not you.
Like, we don't know the other perspective of it, but because of the way he put it, like, we assume that whatever he did or whatever vengeance he got on the foe is not a good one. Because,
good
and that's also because he's happy about
exactly.
it, you know?
Like, he's not going to be happy
he's
to
not
see
gonna
his
be satisfied,
foe.
Like, if it's not bad,
bad
at this point.
Yeah, he's like, oh, my foe's healthy and good. Like, I'm so happy. Like,
right.
that's not how this that's not how this poem is structured
right.
at all. Like, he's obviously did or is thinking of something very bad.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. And I think that's perfect way to end this poem. This was Anya Peters.
Ian Roy.
Alex Aubin.
And Mia Young with the last EAH podcast. Bye-bye.
Catch you later.